This is Eon Karras, and you're listening to Love, Sex, and the Hidden Agenda. This podcast was created with the sole intention to release toxic shame, to illuminate our shadow nature, and to expose the mysterious entities that feed off our most precious life force, our sexual energy. In this episode, we pick up where we left off with Keith Mitchell, former NFL linebacker turned tantric yogi. We're talking about evolved players and conscious relationships. Let's dive in.
To not let myself go crazy, because you can you can lose yourself, because there's so many and they're so beautiful. You know, I tell people drinking is not my thing. You know, the what you would call drugs is not my thing. My thing is I love beautiful women. And so, wow, you know, that was the thing. So I was like, okay, how do I ground myself to not lose it? You know? So.
Yeah. What was the strategy, or is the strategy, or what was it and what is it now? Like, what did you learn in your strategic way of relating? Can you share?
Well, my strategy when I was playing, I had two women, and the two women helped.
Permanent women.
Yeah,
and then on the side.
Yeah, they were like my relationships for about, 8 years, eight, nine. I don't even, you know, when I think about it, like I can't say this. I'm like, I should have married them. I don't know, but like, I didn't. But they knew about each other. It was not like I was trying to, you know, run a game on them, but no.
They were aware of each other. Yeah.
Yeah. My thing was just, if it's relationships, it's to explore the edges of relationships. It's to explore what it is that I need. And that what that looks like is I had to get comfortable with myself to express that, to share that, be clear with that. And whether they would want to stay or leave, you have to be firm in that. I feel by catering to the person's need to like satisfy them and like try to look out, you begin to make the situation worse. You have to be direct. And I'm even learning that even more and more now. You have to be direct. It may even make you cringe at times. You like, because it sounds cold, maybe, but you have to be, and you're not even, it's really not about you, it's for them, because they're in limbo until you direct and guide. And that's really what Shiva is. That Shiva concept is about that you know, stern concept. This is the intention. This is where we're going.
I think that's the ultimate masculine quality. Like for me, when there's a man who knows what they want, knows what works for them, and then can clearly articulate it and then be so convicted in it and stand in it, I just find that so attractive. It's like, I don't care what it is, but if they can do that with whatever it is that they feel so convicted about, it's just really attractive. And I think you're brave and sort of a forerunner for what most people like crave and desire so much, but maybe don't have the courage to do it, don't feel that they have the capacity or the permission to do it. And I think you were sort of raised, or you chose a career path and a lifestyle that gave you that permission in a sense, because you're kind of can do what you want, right? Like you can. And I love that you've integrated your own self-control measures and like your own integrity with yourself, like realizing like, whoa, okay, this can be a problem. Like this can go too far, or, oh, this can really hurt people. And how can I be more in integrity with myself and with these people, these women that I obviously like love and care for, and I'm not trying to hurt them. So I'm just curious if you can share a bit more, like, what is the strategy, or can you share like what you did that worked or didn't work, or where you're at now? Like, how do you manage that? And what is it that you've determined is your sort of ideal scenario?
Well, on this flight, like, it's a whole different interpretation from when I played sports.
Yeah.
I think when I was playing sports, it was just satisfying my my cravings, my ideas, and where I was mentally, my maturity at that point, even at that, you know, in this plight, because even coming out of relationship, I had a relationship for the last 2 years, 2.5 years, 5 women here in Mexico. And to realize this plight, it wasn't about so much the women. It was about, what I mean by that, it was not to stack women, it's the mission. It's like, okay, what are we doing? Are we just having sex or are we building? And that's what really was my interest and still is, building. Because we're not just here to just, you know, I love sex and we can have sex, but like at some point we gotta do something else. We gotta, there's people that are, we're in this environment that's deteriorating around us. You know, we have all this insanity around us. How can we be the medicine? How can we put the healing involved? And that the healing is the feminine. And when that feminine is nurtured, right? And she's in love and she's in that love space. I find her to be very creative. I find her to be, even as so, as I mentioned earlier, Shiva is to say we go in this direction, but the Shakti is the vehicle that takes us there, yeah. You know? So it's like, okay, so that was a very interesting.
So happy you understand that. I just have to pause there. I've never actually heard a man understand that before. So thank you. You get it. It's true.
She has all the life force energy. She has the stamina. A man, I mean, we would be exhausted. And, you know, a woman goes, she goes into her orgasmic power. She can clean up the house, work a 9-to-5, you know, make dinner, run all the tasks, errands, and still be like, okay, what else? I mean, that's the way she's built, you know?
I just this image in my mind, like, of the people listening, they're like, did he just say he has 5 women running a business, running that much Shakti create?
Yeah.
I love it. Totally see you.
Like, wow, this is so amazing. You know, and like, can you just believe this? Like, can you? And I don't even think a lot of times they had a hard time believing. Like, we're gonna go where? We're gonna go to Africa. We're gonna go to Europe. We're gonna go to Costa Rica. We're gonna go do 9 events in Tulum and sell out. Like, what? You know, it's like I'm like things I would come to. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just, I'm just like have to pause because I can imagine that you deciding to do that and like. Strategically like explaining to these women that, you know, obviously as each one came in, they had to find out that there's others, right? Like they're not the only one. And then they had to somehow collaborate and work together, share you, and all of that was above board. So I just want people to know that you're not like, I don't know, some Muslim harem leader guy that has sister wives, but these is all consensual adults through love and connection deciding to experiment and try this with you.
Oh yeah, we had business meetings every Monday, 3:00. And whether if you couldn't make it in person, you had to Zoom in.
And we and were did all those business meetings ever talk about personal issues in the relation, or it was just business?
It was about our business for the most part. I mean, I felt we created a clear space where we could talk, but you know, and opportunities were always there that we could all talk because we were around each other and we traveled a lot. Yeah, but every Monday, 3:00, Zoom in or there in present. And we did some amazing things. And we're still reaping benefits from the things and some of the things we made and done, you know? So it's possible, it's doable. The thing that I found was interesting though, is women having an ability to work with each other. I think that's something that's really not talked about and how we can dismantle some of the, whether it be competitiveness or just trusting the woman, another woman, to work with them, to build, you know, to create. I found that something that was very interesting. And even speak your truth. Mm-hmm. You know, what that looks like in some cases is accountability and and even in some cases challenging that accountability, making decisions is very interesting. I saw that come up a little bit, you know? So.
Yes. Yeah. So you're not all together now?
No.
Or some fall out. All of them have dismantled and you have a new set?
No, it really wasn't about that. I promise you, it wasn't about that. It was about, again, you know, at this point in my life, I'll be 49 next month. It's about, I mean, I've been all over the world. I'm 56 countries now. It's like, I mean, like, I've done a lot. And I've still got a lot more in the tank. But the thing is, it's like, we're in a situation. It's like, if you want to relate it to sports, we're in the fourth quarter and we're down by 16, you know? And it's like, we need to make a play. And the play is humanity. The play is, are we going to fight for humanity? Or are we going to let it be dismantled? Are we going to think about things? Are we going to look at things with an intent to solve it? Why are we letting these narratives be pushed on us without fighting for it? We got to fight for humanity. Are we going to do it or not? I mean, those are the things that really stick on my mind. You know, what are we leaving? I have kids. What are we leaving our kids to live in? If you love your kids, whatever you have to inspire yourself to get motivated about doing this work, I encourage you to do so. But we're going to leave our kids left into this world. The ocean's dead. The food is dead. The air is dead. What are we leaving them to, you know? And I feel we have to fight. We have to fight. And fight can sound like a low vibrational word, but it's resistance. It's a resistance to the status quo because it's not serving us. It's not serving us.
Well, I think we definitely have to do what we can. And I think each one of us came with certain gifts and capacities to give, and you're clearly like on mission and doing what you can. And I want to talk about how like sexuality and your life mission go together, because to me, those two really are dependent on each other, or they influence each other so much. You know, it's the same second chakra energy, money, also money, sex, power, passion, like our gifts that we bring to the world. And I'm curious, like in all your like sexual explorations, have you found that, I don't know, certain extremes of sexuality have diminished that? Or like, have you, because it sounds like you've found like your sweet spot, like, okay, this is sort of where I'm humming and running, where I can be who I am here to be, do what I need to do, make the most impact I need to make. Yeah. So could you just like talk a little bit about your journey with that and like what you're feeling now, like how these two, your sexuality and your work in the world kind of intersect?
Well, you know, it's your life force, it's your creative flow. It's what makes you feel young. It's your vitality. I feel you can look at a person and see their vitality. And that vitality includes having sex, because that's the nature of these entities, and they're craving one another. It's like this connection is a real thing. The when you talk about malnourishment, it doesn't start or stop with food. It's the human ability to connect. And it's so interesting how they're all the same, though, because, you know, it's 102 minerals in you, it's 102 minerals in me. When you look at the water, water is a liquid version of 102 minerals. Food is a manifestation of 102 minerals. You know, it's all nurturing. It's all encompassing the same thing. So what do you live for? What do you live for? It's like women don't live for contracts. Women live for love. Men can get by, but then at the same time, what are you going to do? If it wasn't about a woman, a man would just, he wouldn't even buy a car. He would just walk. He would buy a bike. He creates a house. He builds himself up to what? To be presented to the woman, that she would choose him or he would choose her. It's like this concept. It's like, it's a dynamic that we need each other. This is the ultimate thing, you know? And so what that looks like, that's your creative flow. That puts you in the place where you can solve problems in that creativity. That puts you in a place where you can feel. And then when you feel, you can heal. You know, you can thrive. We can thrive as humans. We can solve problems. I'll say that so many times because we don't really think about that. That creative flow allows us to be creative in our design to solve problems. It's a real thing. And so that's what I see it happening. I see it happening for myself. I see it happening for the things we attract, because on the top we talk about manifestation, but now you go into magnetism. And so when you're holding that high vibration, that creative flow, that vitality, now you also begin to attract not just entities, meaning other people, but you begin to attract other energies of like things that you desire to create, opportunities, careers, all these different things begin to just come to you. So it's a very interesting journey of that magic, I call it, that can transpire. I mean, we have to at some point realize we are the extraterrestrial, you know, we are the crystal, we're stardust, meaning we don't come from here, you know, we're developing to be here. We don't come from here, water, we're crystal. It's all interesting things, the dynamics of what we are. We're learning this stuff. Some of us, more of us need to learn this and understand this, but we haven't even begun to really tap into the magic that we possess as humans, you know? I'm like, if life is a dream, then fly. How are you flying? You know, it's not the time to be afraid. It's the time to step into those places and know we belong. Your voice counts. Your voice matters. You know, I think there's an opportunity for that.
Absolutely. I love that. I remember we were talking once and you were saying something about independent women, like if they're so independent, something about like why independent women end up with weak men. Do you remember your thoughts on that? You were saying something like they end up with weak men because they're not asking the man for anything. You were saying men need to pay for sex, something like that. I was like, what? What are you talking about? You're like, yes, men pay for sex. They pay for it through their relationships, if they're marrying them, by taking care of the woman. And then when a woman, like an independent woman, shows up and she's like, well, no, I don't need a man for money, then she ends up getting like a guy who can't provide, right? Like who, a man who doesn't want to provide, who feels like they don't have that desire or drive to provide for the female. So it's creating this, like, I don't know, this is the parts that I'm like piecing together and I wanted to hear you speak about it. So I don't know if that jogged your memory at all or.
Well, I would say, I would lead with the question, what is wrong with being dependent on a man or needing a man? What would be so wrong about that? You know, it doesn't mean that you stop doing what you're doing, but you realize you need a man. Just like I realize I need a woman. Yeah. Life on this planet without a woman would be very lonely. Without those relationships would be, what would be the point? You know, and so I was trying to say that earlier. And so this narrative that they feed us and we buy into it, we have to, you know, step back and really check in. What is this narrative and why are we saying this? You know, and really, you know, be truthful with ourselves. When a person's coming in that frame of thought, she's coming in more of a masculine role. And so naturally in that masculine role, you're going to pull the polarity of that. And that the opposite of that would be more of a feminine stated man. That's just a natural energetics, because a masculine man is not going to want to fight with a woman who wants to be so independent, because he needs her too. And so she doesn't need him. He's like, well, she, you know, it's like, why go there? I mean, that's the whole point of being in relationship, is to bond and create that understanding with each other. So he's not going to be more or less looking for that type of woman, you know? So that's why that mindset of a woman would find herself in a relationship like that, which will also, it may serve a moment, a time, but it won't serve her ultimate purpose, because she would be frustrated, because at the end of the day, she's going to want him to be a man. And he can't be that for her, because he was never that in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the bodysuit of a man, but the reality of his mentality, it was underdeveloped. It wasn't Shiva. And so she's going to want Shiva at the end of the day.
Absolutely. We're coming to the end here. So there was one question I wanted to ask you, which was, what do you feel women need to understand about men in general? And what do you feel men need to understand about women?
Well, we have to look at the terrain in which we're navigating in. We have to look at the forces that have created obstacles that keep us, you know, apart, separate. We have to realize when we're looking to find ourselves in relationships, you know, I had a conversation with someone talking about, I want a traditional man. Well, you have to realize that you're not coming as a traditional woman. We have to level up. It's like the phone reboots every 6 months. We got to reboot our mind frame, the frame of thought that we have to a 2023, almost 24 version. And right. So we're saying things that are outdated. And so if we're saying things are outdated, our consciousness is outdated. We need to level up. And we have to look at it for really what it is. And so these ideas, we need to ground them, you know? And you know, it's so interesting because a lot of people will pander to women and create those, because, you know, the reason why the marketplace, women consume more than men. And so sales go up when you pander to women and tell them what they want to hear. But the reality is still the reality, and the suffering is still the suffering. So we just have to do a reevaluation of our thought around relationship. Again, men need to give the women the understanding of them, let them into their worlds a little bit, explain to be more direct to the woman what you need from her. I gave you some interesting tools, just narratives that we can control, like even with dating. Like I say, don't go out with a man unless you're sexually attracted to him. And if you're not sexually attracted to him, you go on a date with him, offer to buy and pay for your food. And
if, you said if you let him pay, then you should be prepared to have sex with him.
Well, he's going to be thinking that because what does men want? At this point, we can't be so nice. He just wants sex. Yes, that's what he wants. Yes, he wants sex until he realizes something else. But that's the initial. And so either participate or don't. You know, you have to realize it's a Leela. It is the Leela. And in that play, we don't have to be victim to the play. Just understand how to be in the play or not. But if you're going to be in it, have a protocol to follow. And a protocol that follows it works. And so here's a strategy. If you go on a date, unless don't go out on a date with a man unless you're sexually attracted. Don't go to dinner. Go to have coffee, have breakfast. That's something you can do, right? But if it's dinner, nighttime, you know, nighttime leads to the bedtime. So it's like, don't do it. Now, if you go on a second date, now you have to be willing to and ready to go the full way, knowing it.
But on the second date, really?
Second day, yeah. Or don't go on a date. Or pay. You can pay. You can pay. If you pay your way, so be it. Now you set the boundaries with your actions. And so now he's not looking at this thing as, okay, entertainment. Or he's looking at this thing as, okay, you know, this is where she is. You're making it clear with your actions. This is where you are. But again, don't go to dinner. Go have breakfast. Go have coffee. Tea, whatever, you know. But that is a protocol. Try it out. See what happens. Because now what happens is that man has been abused from so many other participants, right? The woman has gone out. She's ordered everything on the menu. She's ordered for that night and then her lunch for the next day. And now, you know, he feels abused. And now you're getting the bulk of that when he sees you're doing potentially the same thing. And so now he acts a certain way. Now you're like, oh, men are crazy. No, he's been through some things. He may not be able to articulate himself to talk about it, but he's been going through this, you know? So let's be clear.
Yeah.
And even if you offer, to pay, I think that sets a boundary too. And maybe he says, okay, I'll get it, you know? I'm just saying, like, it's control our narratives. use this tool, this voice as tools, you know? Yeah.
Well, thank you, Keith, for sharing your wisdom and your strategies. And you have a playbook coming out.
Yes.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, it's called the Mindfulness Playbook. It's 8 strategies at winning at the game of life, right? And so winning looks like, you know, if 100% is fallacy, then what's your win, right? If 100% is fallacy, so that whole idea, I can have it all, bullshit, we can't. So what does it look like when you're winning? Can you live with 80%? Can you live with 70%? I even ask people, how much do you love, at what percentage do you love yourself? Because when you give it a number, now you're grounded. And so if you have an expectation of someone to give you more than you can do to yourself, then it's delusional thinking. I think we can agree on that. Even the expectation of that, I think we can agree on that. That's delusional thinking. So what does it look like when you're winning? What is your 70%? What is your 80%? What can you live with? Instead of, like, in some cases I see people who have been in these marriages, and granted, all marriages are, you know, got different situations that happens, but you got 2 kids, 3 kids, a lifetime with a person. What are you going to get out there in the world? Let's be clear. Let's try to work together. I'm a big advocate of salvaging homes, especially when you have children. And, you know, I went through it. I'm still going through it. It's a catalyst to creating what we are seeing in our society, in our relationship, how we view relationships. So my heart goes to that. And so I'm a big advocate of salvaging the home when we've spent all this time with each other. Let's try to develop, let's work together. Let's try to build one another. You know, so interesting, I'm gonna add this piece. I think the woman raises a son, but she forgets she's and has the ability to raise the man. She has the ability to raise the man, that you desire in the husband. Just like you raise your son.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's so wrong with in this society being proud of the man you're with? Thinking that your man is the shit and telling him that. What's so bad about that? You know, we're in this really crazy environment where we don't, like, I don't want to blow his head up. Blow his fucking head up. The next woman is. And that's what's luring him that way, you know? So why? Why hold back? This is the man you chose. This is the man who chose you. What's so bad about that? Why be ashamed of that, you know?
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like, shit, if it's the woman you're with, she's the bomb. She's whatever terminology you use to express just who she is to you. So, yeah, let's get out of that shit. That's toxic. So as you raise the son, raise the man, and watch good things happen. The woman in chess, the queen, is the most powerful piece on the board when she's in strategy, meaning when she's in flow. But when she's not, she could be compromised. And when she's compromised, compromises everything. Compromises the king. They flow together. So that's my take on it. Hopefully people who are listening got something out of it. You can find me on KeithMitchell59.com is my website. Those are my handles. 59 is not my age, but it was my jersey number.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting your book. When is it going to come out?
I just know the month, September.
And we'll find it on the website, I'm sure. Keith.
On my website, Amazon, bookstores. We're going to have a book tour. And we're going to get busy in the market. I'm ready. I'm ready for this. Yeah. Yes.
Exciting. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and being open to sharing your stories also. And I know it's not every day that we get to, like, share our sex lives on the podcast, but for you, maybe it is every day.
Yeah. I mean, sex life, I mean, it's everything. I'm an open book with that. Yeah. It's so good to share it.
People need to hear it, and the men need to hear it. And I think you're really a testament to it. You've been fresh air for me, because I think so many people just stay in the box and stay within the constraints that they were raised or that they think is appropriate for them. And I've not lived like that, and I don't want to live like that. And I just really look forward to a world where people are more honoring of themselves and their needs, and we co-create something more magical that really works for people and isn't so confined to belief systems or things that don't, that no longer fuel us, right? Where we get caged and like shut down, and then we lose our life force and we're not able to do what we came here to do. So I just appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship and connection, and thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And anytime we can definitely get online and have a conversation again. We can go deeper. I got a lot more.
We're gonna keep going. I'm just aware of the time, but thank you.
Namaste.
To learn more about our life-enhancing courses and transformational retreats, visit knowtheself.com.